David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. Congress, of course, is out of action today because of the holiday, but they're back at work this week. And the president preparing, David, his State of the Union address. Does that bring Congress to kind of a grinding halt for the next couple of days while people anticipate what the president might say? Or does business continue as usual at to whatever degree that is at this point in the year?
Right. Well, business is getting off to a relatively slow start anyway. The House has not even, most of the committees in the House haven't even started meeting to start considering legislation yet, because a lot of them don't even know who their Democratic members are yet. The Senate, as some listeners know, is taking a deliberately slow pace on the first big bill of the year, which is this Keystone Pipeline energy bill that Mitch McConnell has said he's going to let the Senate debate for as long as it wants. It was going to be a slow week anyway, but in answer to your question, yes, to the day of the State of the Union, long day for all of us who have to pay attention. It doesn't even really get started till 9. Most members have to sit through it and then do interviews afterward. So Tuesday is pretty much of a shot day. And then Wednesday, most of them will spend the day reacting to it. The Senate will get back to debating this bill, but I think it's essentially going to be a pretty languid week up on the Hill because of State of the Union, which is, to my memory, a week earlier than usual. Usually, it's the last Tuesday of the month, so they're doing a little bit earlier. So once it's behind them, then maybe they can get down to some more workaday work.
Is it unusual that at this point we still don't know who some of the chairs of some of the subcommittees will be, and who some of the ranking members of some of the committees and subcommittees will be? It seems like we would know that by now.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we know who all the rankers are on the full committees. It's the subcommittees that we don't know yet, because, as I say, many of the committees, they don't know the full scope. They know who all their Republican members are, but the Democrats have had a hard time, cramming 10 pounds of sugar into a 9-pound bag. Very few members who are returning got promoted to better committees. All the freshman Democrats had to settle for no more than one committee. They're still trying to figure a few final things out. And really, until a committee knows who its members are, they can't do those organizational meetings and create the subcommittee.
And this is a result of the election results in November, right, where there's a smaller amount of Democrats than there have been for
the whole body of years. The Republicans obviously went from having 46% of the seats in the Senate to 54% of the seats in the Senate, so that's huge, and means every committee, now has a Republican majority, and some of the Democrats on the Senate side had to give up some seats. On the Republican side, on the House, they went from 54% of the seats to 57% of the seats, but by tradition, the party in power claims even a higher percentage than their overall majority when it comes to committees. So most, about 3/5 to 2/3 of every committee seat goes to the Republicans this time.
We still have more than a month until the deadline to get appropriations in place for the Homeland Security Department, David. Everything else is taken care of for fiscal 2015. The House has passed a funding bill that includes language the White House has already said the president would veto. Is the Senate going to be the place where that legislation goes to die, as is so often the case, do you think?
Well, now that the Senate's Republican, it is a little bit of a mystery how they're going to play this. My guess is that yes, it is where it's going to go to die, because even though the Senate is Republican, they only have the 54 seats. They don't have the 60 seats that they would need to cut off a filibuster by the Democrats, who want a clean bill shorn of any of this immigration language. So I think in the end, that's where it's going to go to get terminally ill, this immigration language. And then last week, Speaker Boehner said what is sort of the politically practical thing that his conservative allies didn't want him to say, or at least didn't want him to say this early, which is he did not rule out passing a so-called clean DHS bill shorn of this immigration language. I almost said clean CR. I want to emphasize, as we talked about last week, this is a real bill for the Department of Homeland Security. It's got line-by-line decisions. It's a real appropriations bill, just coming several months late.
The chain of events with Speaker Boehner making that comment last week, David, indicated to me, my translation of that Washington speak was, that's what it's going to look like when it finally happens.
Oh, right. I think he's sort of telegraphing what the fifth reel of the movie is. You know, even only in the second reel. Yes, I think that's. I think he was acknowledging where this is going to end up, which is they may play back and forth with this language for a little while. They've bought themselves some time here. The DHS has stable funding until the end of February, so they have some time to play politics. But in the end, where it's going to end up, I think, is pretty clear. Is no immigration language and the Homeland Security appropriations bill that DHS is expecting.
You mentioned the Senate is going to be on the pipeline bill and 68,000 amendments or whatever for the next however long. Do we have a sense that that process might back up the DHS funding bill? Or is Senator McConnell willing, although he said he won't, is he willing to consider, do we have any sense, setting that aside to do the DHS bill and then go back to the pipeline?
I think that they are talking about the DHS bill. I'm sorry, they're talking about the Keystone bill, the energy bill, taking until the end of the month.
The end of January.
Okay. So that is maybe this week and next week, I think, is they're hoping to get it done by then, and that would leave a decent amount of time for them to do the DHS debate in early February.
David Hawkins, a senior editor at Roll Call. That's comforting because that then does sound like there will be plenty of time to do that, that we're not into one of these shutdown, countdown fiascos as we've been so many times in the last couple of years.
I think that's right. I think Mitch McConnell does not want that to be on his, you know, one of the first things that he does on his watch.
Yeah, so immediately once that's done, then all of the budget wonks that listen to this program and that you talk to on the Hill turn immediately to 2016, and President Obama, the White House, has indicated they expect to put their budget request out on time this year. Now, you know, having followed this for as long as you have, that what the president asks for looks absolutely nothing like what he'll eventually sign at some point in time. Is there significance, though, to the fact that the White House wants to get it in on time and that the House and Senate have already indicated that they're going to start talking about it right away?
Well, I think this is one of the benefits in terms of sort of regular order, good governments. One of the good government benefits to getting 11 of the 12 appropriations bills done before Christmas was that it gives the OMB a fair shot at getting the budget done by the time they're supposed to get done. In other words, trying to do a budget for fiscal 16 before the fiscal 15 numbers are locked into place is pretty unfair to the budgeteers at the White House. So it looks like they're going to get it done on time. Yes, they've said it would be the first time the president's budget comes out on time, you know, in 3-4 years, I think. And that sets the stage for an all-Republican Congress to do its budget on time, which is by April 15th. So I would expect that to happen. I think, you know, we got a long way to go. Mitch McConnell and Thad Cochran, the new chairman of the Appropriations Committee, they are not even predicting 12 bills done by October 1st. They're not going to be that optimistic, but they do think that they can at least get the opening rounds of the budget calendar done on time, i.e. budget comes out when it's supposed to come out from the White House, budget resolution is pushed through by an all-Republican Congress relatively easily by the statutory but often missed deadline of April 15th, and then they can get down to the brass tacks of appropriating the money and writing whatever tax bill or other so-called reconciliation bill they might decide to write.
The good news for everybody involved in this is that the bar is so low that overcoming it and improving on it wouldn't require a whole lot of effort. Just any progress at all by September 30th would make it appear as though things are improving.
That's right. I think that obviously the big challenge this year is that the sequester numbers that many of us have been able to forget about for the last 2 years are back. You know, there was the so-called Ryan Murray budget of 2 years ago that eased up on the sequester for 2 years ago and the year we're currently in. But next year those numbers come back, and one of the first decisions the Republicans are going to have to decide is what to do with them going forward, whether to ease up only on the defense number, whether to ease up on both numbers, whether to do nothing at all.
One last item, David. The tragic accident on the Metro at L'Enfant Plaza, woman passed away. What is Congress's response going to be? What can we expect to hear about that for people who commute in the D.C. area?
Well, the first thing that you'll hear about is on Wednesday, the Virginia and Maryland delegations, at the insistence of Barbara Mikulski, the senior senator from Maryland, and essentially all four of the senators, are putting together a Maryland and Virginia delegation meeting with WMATA and the National Transportation Safety Board, where they are going to, I guess the polite word is, you know, kick some butt. They say Mikulski put out a statement last week saying she was pleased with the speed of the initial preliminary investigation, but tons more questions to ask. That will be sort of a kabuki play where the politicians ask the tough questions, and then I think will come a period where the local delegations really work hard to see if some additional spending might be made to improve rail safety. There is not only because of the thousands of D.C. and Virginia and Maryland people who ride Metro, but also because there's a national security, homeland security component to this. Many people sort of alarmed that this incident happened right at the same time as the Paris attacks, reminding people what a soft target is, and people thinking, you know, what if that arcing smoky electrical arc at L'Enfant Plaza had been something nefarious and on purpose, could have been a lot worse.
Last thing, David, you have a column that I commend to people. We've made millions of jokes over the years, those of us that follow the Hill, about sleight of hand and how it's taken hold in Congress. And you're writing about a guy who actually engages in sleight of hand for entertainment and promotional purposes.
Oh, thanks! Thanks for reading.
Yes. Love that piece.
Thank you very much. This is a sophomore Democrat starting his second term. A guy that most people in Washington still haven't really heard of.
Never heard of him before.
When you're a second termer and in the minority party, it's hard to get noticed. His name is Mark Pocan. He's from Madison, Wisconsin, and he's helped put himself through college by being one of the most prominent young magicians in Wisconsin, and that's how he paid for.
Wow.
Bartending is how he paid for. Going to Wisconsin, and he decided that after one term of being more the workhorse than the show horse, he was going to try and get himself noticed. So he started a YouTube series called Magic Mondays, where he's going to perform a magic trick and on the air and try and explain how that magic trick explains what's going on in Washington. So sleight of hand and you can. It sort of writes itself. The scripts kind of write themselves.
You never run out of characters when you cover the Hill, do you, David?
No, you never do. It makes it easy to do what I do.